Okay, so I'm just going to read you a short excerpt from Max Haven and my book, The Radical Imagination, Social Movement Research in the Age of Austerity. This is from about midway through the book, where we're talking about oppression, capitalism, and imagination. The radical imagination is, as we argue, not an individual possession but a collective process. But this does not deny its personal, affective, and biographical dimension. While the radical imagination may be a collective process, it's one activated and lived by individuals who come to that process with their own backgrounds and baggage, their own privilege, and their own cocktail of oppression. Through our research and reflections, we would propose that the single most pressing challenge for the radical imagination, its single most powerful opponent now, is the potent and pernicious myth of middle-class success, to which we've returned throughout this book and specifically throughout this section of the book that I'm reading from. While there is, of course, nothing inherently wrong with a desire for material security and the safe and pleasurable reproduction of social life, striving for what is by now a practically non-existent ideal of middle-class security represents a massive barrier to the radical imagination and social movements in general. Further, once its hollowness and impossibility are revealed, it can become a fertile ground for the cultivation of bitterness, cynicism, and betrayal that feed fascist movements promising security and a return to greatness through authoritarian terror directed at the most vulnerable and visibly different. This is not to say that those working in jobs that offer some modicum of security or that pay a living wage are inherently enemies of or immune to the radical imagination. But it is to say that the seduction of an individualistic middle-class escape from the crisis of social reproduction is fundamentally at odds with the ability to imagine and reproduce the world otherwise. This is because the middle class promise is one fundamentally predicated on the individualistic pursuit of social equilibrium, peace, and security. While liberal thinkers might believe that the middle class lifestyle is feasible for everyone, and that all that is required is a slightly more equal system of opportunities, we believe that this promise is impossible and undesirable. Not only has middle class security always been bought with the displacement of that crisis of social reproduction onto others, women, the third world, racialized people, migrants, queer folk, it has never truly worked, even for those within the so-called middle class. Middle class belonging was the prize offered by capital for our obedience, docility, and complicity, and as it turns out, it has always been a ruse. The radical imagine atrophies when politics is imagined as merely the extension of middle class belonging to wider constituencies of people, whether they are the local marginalized populations or globalized workers or women or refugees. Similarly, individuals lose their capacity to participate in the radical imagination to the extent that they embrace for themselves or their comrades the middle-class dream of an individualized escape from the crisis of social reproduction. The key challenge the radical imagination now faces is this. We live in a time of two contradictory shifts. On the one hand, the promise of middle-class inclusion, an individualized escape from the crisis of social reproduction, is being sold to almost everyone. While in reality, middle-class jobs and the security they promise still disproportionately accumulate to straight, white, able-bodied, cis men, capitalism is in the process of grudgingly dismantling formal legal barriers to this dream for those so long denied access to its pursuit, racialized people, women, queer and trans people, and other marginalized folks. This is not to deny the intense systemic, interpersonal, and institutional barriers that remain and must remain for the system to operate to many marginalized people. It is only to say that the dream of middle-class inclusion, even if it is only realized by a tiny fraction of marginalized people, has been offered as a means to co-opt and corrupt struggles for equality and social justice. But on the other hand, middle-class existence is increasingly materially impossible. Those members of the so-called middle class are not insulated from the crisis of social reproduction, though they may feel its impacts less intensely, less violently, and less destructively than those of us who are socially or economically marginalized. We are amidst a political situation where those who have struggled and competed to earn a place in the middle class are finding themselves denied the sorts of security, prosperity, and happiness they were led to expect. To the extent that capitalism is seen to plausibly offer access to middle class security, it's unlikely that radical northern social movements will obtain the sorts of social change they seek. It's not enough for movements to simply decry, mock, and offend middle-class sensibilities and habits. Those goods and hopes that the myth of the middle-class belonging promises are not in and of themselves unworthy. The right to enjoy peace, security, family, broadly imagined, friendship, education, creativity, time off, and meaningful relationships. The key for movements going forward will be providing similar or better goods and hopes to their own members, as well as to those whom they hope to convince and recruit. Whether they are movements that build alternative structures of social reproduction in the here and now, cooperative housing projects, local food initiatives, daycare collectives, etc., or promise them in the post-capitalist future, the single most pressing barrier to the radical imagination is the belief that escape from the crisis of social reproduction can be achieved at the level of the individual.